Attic name, Mike.
Wow, this is different. It's just been an amazing month or two for me, the last couple months. And you know, it's funny, I've been around here for 15 years almost. I had long-term stretches of clean time. But, you know, I don't regret any of that. I don't regret any time that, you know, I've spent in here. I basically, in the last 24 years, I've spent 12 years in recovery and 12 years using. And it would be nice if it was all nice and neat, the first 12 years using and the last 12 years in recovery, but it hasn't worked out that way. And through experiences, you know, I've had an experience with a couple years clean, relapsing for one day, going to two meetings the next day, staying clean for almost 7 years, and then relapsing at that time for 4 years. So one day relapse, 4 year relapse. When I came back around a little over 2 years ago, I'd get 2 weeks, 30 days, whatever. I had 64 days, I think. And it's like through those experiences now, I can feel a deeper level of empathy, you know, for people in whatever situation. The first nighters, they used to call them, or people that come in, you see them every week getting a one-day key tag or whatever. And just deeper empathy and compassion for other human beings and also for myself. You know, for me down the road in different situations, I can feel more compassion for myself. And I think one of the main things I've learned over all that time is, you know, if I want this freedom I'm looking for, this self-acceptance, you know, peace of mind, what I need to do is allow you to have total freedom to be where you're at in this process and accept you for where you're at and who you are. And because I'm not going to find out for myself if I'm putting all these expectations on you and judging you. You know, I'm not going to gain any freedom or acceptance for myself. I'm in a really good spot now in my life. And, you know, and I've been at a similar point in my recovery before. Probably not quite as far as in a recovery process, even with a lot more years. But similar. And with about 3-4 years clean, just started fading away from everything and not reading, not talking to anyone, not, you know, I did nothing for like 3 years but not use. Nothing. No meetings, no reading, no praying. I just didn't use for about 2.5-3 years, and then I picked up eventually, of course. And that in itself gives me a lot of motivation to continue on in this process. And even this time around, I just had 2 years yesterday, and the whole time until it's only been the last couple months that I even put pen to paper at all in any way, shape, or form, put a pen to a piece of paper, and you know, in the last few months. And right now I've just begun writing on a 4-step, and you know, I can see that before, one of the things that I didn't do was a formal 4th and 5th step. I never got beyond that. One of the things I didn't do before, even with years clean, you know, I worked 1, 2, 3. I began writing. I had a time set aside. Every day I wrote on the 4th step, talked to my sponsor. You know, put it down. It became a week, a month, a year, several years. And it says right in the 4th step, and it works how and why. Be careful not to put the step down because you may never pick it back up again. And that was my story. And I didn't pick that back up. I picked something else back up. You know, all my nevers came true. I always like to call them yets. You're eligible too. Never got arrested. Never got a DWI. Never got introduced to certain drugs that I did later. And, you know, my experience was not picking up where I left off. It was picking up as I'd been using the whole 7 years. It's like a diagonal line. I stopped here and I picked up down here. And, you know, everything, every person I've ever met, every relationship I've ever had, every experience I've ever had leads me to where I am right now. This is the person I am now, and my whole universe is right here talking to you people, listening, and that's it. Because my mind wants to be on a million different TV stations and radio stations and just being off elsewhere. And, you know, what I found is God only works in one place, and that's in the moment, period. And there's all these things available to me to take advantage of, but they're all in the moment. You know, they're all right now, right here. And the main thing I want to do is listen to other people. So come on down. You're the next contestant.
My name is Forte and I'm an addict. I got this mic here. I feel like singing a song, but I'm not going to try to end the convention before it gets started. So I won't do that to you all. I just want to say that 10 years ago, I would never have anticipated my life to turn out like it has today and to be around such beautiful people. My life consisted of an all joint and abandoned buildings and homelessness and a whole other lot of horrible things. But 10 years ago, my high power reached down and swooped me up and let me know that there's a new way to live. And I'm just so thankful to you all for loving me and keeping me through all the changes that I went through these last 10 years and being there for me. And I thank my high power for this beautiful program. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Linda, and I'm an addict. And you know, I'm real grateful, right? I've been in recovery 17 years, and I've been to every convention that it is. And somehow, some of my friends say they're tired of Ocean City, right? But that's them. I never get tired of Ocean City, right? Now, I am so grateful that God scooped me up, right? Because I was just looking at the ocean last night, and I was overwhelmed because I had... No, my mother had 9 kids when I got here, and all of us had a disease of addiction. And since being clean, I had buried 3 brothers and a sister. You know, and I was looking at the ocean last night, and I was so grateful. And then I was grateful because I knew a lot of people had died from the virus, and I used the same works that they use. You know, and it's nothing out of order that I haven't tested positive yet, right? And I just get overwhelmed with recovery a lot of times. And sure, I get tired of going to meetings, and I get tired of the same faces, and I get tired of the same sharing, but I don't have anywhere else to go. You know, someone said, "You going to Ocean City again?" I'm like, "Yeah." You know, you registered already? I registered last year before I left, right? Because that's what I need to do. I need to stay plugged in. Because if I get complacent in here, then I'm going to go out there. There are so many of my friends that's relapsing around me, you all. I mean, with a substantial amount of clean time. So it's nothing out of order. I was the one to tell the guy, say it again, you know, because it talks about it in the 4th step. You can just stay around these rooms and be abstinent from drugs, or you can come here and give yourself a chance, right? And if you don't do a thorough 4th step, right, you will use to those same issues over and over and over again. The same skeletons in the boogaboo is going to hunt you again. And I have a sponsor that I love so dearly, but I just want to choke her. But she, you know, it's a spiritual program down here, so I might let her off the hook by the time she get down here, right? Because I want her to get this program so bad. But some of us had the inability to be honest with ourselves. Some of us had the inability to change. Change you must or die you will. Mouth say anything, but behavior don't lie. I have to live this spiritual program, right? I can't just talk it. I can't talk clean and live dirty. I have to practice these principles in all my affairs, you know. And I remain humble in recovery. And I'm real grateful that by me staying clean, that he guided my son in here. And my son is in service. I'm a power of attraction for my kids. I got a partner sitting over there, and I get overwhelmed, right? I got out of treatment on her birthday, which is my 3rd child. Each year I get clean, she get a year old, and that's my partner in recovery. When y'all see her, she's not an addict, but she's a friend and a daughter of an addict. Where else could you get treated like that? Where else could you get treated that your kids tell you that they love you? Where else could you get treated that when you walk in the convention center, it just make you feel like $1 million? Everybody just want to hug you and love you in spite of yourself, no matter what you did, right? Where else can you get treated like that, right? That's why I talk about my recovery, man. I get overwhelmed with recovery, you know. I get so full sometimes. I be thinking, God saved a person like me to learn how to live like this. It could have been the other way. So I don't tell people, I see you tomorrow, like I used to do when I came from out to Memphis and Georgia. See you tomorrow, same time, same place, right? No, I know it's only by the grace that he blow breath in my body and wake me up. I know he had 10,000 angels surrounding me every day. When I want to go to the left, they'll push me to the right. They'll say, Linda, don't go that way. Go this way. Harm's coming that way, right? Where else did I learn how to feel like this on the inside, right? I came down here and I'm broke, but it's okay, right? Because I'm going shopping with them girls over there. They can spend their money. I don't have no money, right? They say the only way you can keep what you have by giving it away. I make a bag a little something, right? You know, But I had to pay my bills. Because I'm not telling you, trying to impress nobody that I got it like that. Because I can come down here and spend all my bill money on the convention. But when I go back home, ain't none of y'all going to pay my bills for me, right? I had to pay my mortgage. Isn't that great for a mortgage? A bum like me, right? Out the shelter, 99 pounds, ashy gray black. Out the shelter, right? I had to pay my mortgage. I had to pay all my bills because I wanted them calling me on my job, right? Because I be thinking I'm cute when I'm at work, right? I don't want nobody to say, is Miss Linda Duncan there, right? They know it's a bill collector, so I have to take care of myself first. I have to take care of my responsibilities, right? I can't live outside my means, right? I can't come down here and just go shopping to the outlets, right, and feel good on the outside, look good on the outside, and feeling bad on the inside because I bought some Ann Taylor shoes or something that I didn't need when I should have paid my bills, right? That's what recovery has given me, right? So I show gratitude and I talk gratitude. So whenever it's a mic open, I don't sit there and look like, duh, right? They told me the same way I was out there copping hair, right? When I went out there and they kept burning me, I kept going back so they ain't burn me no more. So when I come to the conventions, I keep copping. I go to the open mic and I share it in hopes that is a newcomer in here that Mike can hear something, right? An addict like me been through hell and back. I was just telling my daughter this morning, I was looking at the ocean, I was about to cry, and I was listening to a record, We Fall Down, But We Get Up, right? You know, and I was saying, I'm so grateful that I ain't got to be worrying about copping this morning, that I can just stand in this window and look at the sun shining on the ocean and just be blessed, just be in some serenity. That I ain't got to be out there talking about who trying to go, who got half. I ain't got to be dogging from the jump out. I ain't got to be looking like a ghost getting ready to go haunt a house and thinking I'm cute, right? I ain't got to be laughing at jokes that ain't funny no more. I ain't got to be listening at the guys say, here, give her a package so she can stand over there because her ass too old now. We trying to holler at a young girl over there, right? You know, I don't have to be humiliated no more. So that's enough out of me, and I just want to tell everyone in this room, if have nobody told you they love you all today, I love you all because the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that will tear us apart. I'm going to keep coming back. Hope you all keep coming back.
Grateful recovering addict named George. Oh, man, it's a beautiful thing, all you people here. When I first came into Narcotics Anonymous, I came here because I didn't have nowhere else to go. I was completely out, and you people took me in. You know what? I heard one thing, no matter what, you don't have to pick up. And I went through something a couple months ago, my father passing away, and I just remembered him coming down here when he used to take us down here as kids, you know. You people, man, were there for me. Narcotics Anonymous was there. I had friends. My father, a couple days before he passed away on his deathbed, he goes, I'm proud of you. He said, I'm proud of you. Keep going to them meetings because them meetings are doing something for you. Because he remembers them times when I was down to 140 pounds begging for $5 from him. My brother just said that the other day. He said, well, I thought all you needed to do was borrow $5 all the time. You know, always $5. And I'd borrow $5 from him, $5 from my father, and had $10 to go downtown with. You know, I'm learning a lot of things about myself. You know, I am not that bad of a person. You know, I always thought that I was destined to be an addict. I always thought I was destined to be a bum, be a heroin addict, be, you know, whatever drugs I was doing. You know, and I come in here and I find out different, working the steps, talking with a sponsor, talking with a network. And you know what? Now, I hear this. I didn't come in here to find friends. I do. Because where else am I going to find friends at? Am I going to go up on the corner of Monroe Street and find friends? Am I going to go into the nightclubs and find friends? This is where I find my friends at, right here, at a convention. People from out of state, people from in my state. You know, and this convention, I went come here last year, was the first one. And just the feeling I'm getting now, you know, the feeling of excitement, the joy, the overwhelming feeling of love. Everybody's higher powers getting together. You know, and that's what this is all about. You know, I'm not alone. I always thought I was alone. I thought I was the only one that had all these sick thoughts in my head. You know, I come find out my sponsor, we went over our step work, the other day, pretty much the same thing in it. So I'm not alone. You know, I still get these sick thoughts. But what I'm powerless over them sick thoughts, but my actions, and you know, because I was always the one that went on, you know, that old saying, go on your first instinct.
And man, that first instinct always put me in jail or put me in some positions that I never liked. Now I don't have to worry about that. Like she said, paying the bills. I never paid a bill before until I got clean. I ain't never paid no damn bills. I'm paying for them now because I got a lot of bills I ain't never paid for and I got to pay for them. You know, but I'm paying them now. Like when I said this, like when it first came in, you know, like I sold big screen television when I first came in because I thought I was going to kill myself. So I sold everything out. I sold mine, but I always said mine. My sponsor said that wasn't yours because you rented it from Rent-A-Centers. You sold Rent-A-Centers television. So I got to pay for that. But I was going through something about the, you know, I'm cleaned up a little bit. I'm looking good. I got some money in my pocket. I dyed my hair blonde. I could start going to nightclubs. You know, and I went up, and I'm going to tell us a little story, and I'm going to shut up. I went up in this nightclub, right? I'm up there. I'm like, well, what do these people think who I am? You know, so I got to go back to that old behavior of trying to make myself not who I am, you know. And I'm like, I'm ordering cranberry juice. So I ran over to the store next door, and I took about like $40 and told the guy, let me get all ones for these. Put a little rubber band around it, you know, and I'm walking up in there. I got my phone. Well, I'm thinking I'm, you know, some kind of player or something, some drug dealer off the street. And I had to think about that because that's where the disease hangs out. And for this addict, I cannot go up into them places where the disease is hanging out. Then people might not be addicts who are in there, but there are plenty of them are using. And that's where I cannot be hooked up in that because I thought about it and I thought about it. I got a lot of friends that do that, and that's them. I accept them. They can do that. But this addict cannot do that because I wind up using. I wind up taking that first drink. Wind up drinking another one, then going to get some crack, doing some heroin, and I'll be addicted. I'll be right back in the same race as where I started, having nothing, no clothes, one pair of sweats, one pair of sandals, and one T-shirt. And nobody, everybody hate me. Thank you all.
I'm an addict called Tim. I just came to this meeting to sit down and listen, but something Linda said made me realize that I've learned a valuable lesson in the last month, and that is that no matter what happens, I don't have to use. And so a thought's been going through my mind. I have a seizure disorder. Doctors don't know why I have it. I think y'all know why I have it. And it's under control by medication. Well, I had what they call a breakthrough seizure event a month ago, and having those seizures was something that I said, you know, I need to use. And I got a new roommate a few months ago, and something that he said has been going through my mind, and that is that when he found out that he had Hep C, and he talked to his sponsor about it, and his sponsor said, well, what did you think you were going to get through this unscathed? And so I was starting to go into that, you know, I'm feeling sorry for myself, you know, this sucks, you know, why me, God? And then I heard that voice say, do you think you were going to get through this unscathed, Tim? This is life on life's terms. This is what you have to live with. Are you going to just give up and use? See, because when I got clean, I went into a treatment center like a lot of us. I didn't go to come here with y'all weird people. You know, y'all trying to convince me that you're bigger addicts than I am. And I got the scars to prove that I'm just as big an addict as you are. So, you know, it was some kind of one-upsmanship contest, and that wasn't for me. But they dragged me to Narcotics Anonymous meetings. And there's a little meeting on a little street when the cars are parked there, it's about as wide as this aisle. And I saw a guy celebrating a year in a church. It was hot as hell. No one was leaving. I couldn't leave, of course, because I'm in the treatment center. But the people in the meeting weren't leaving the meeting. And the guy was celebrating a year, and I said, you know, I remember he was just as miserable as I was, and he's now clean, and he can do this. maybe there's something to this Narcotics Anonymous. And I started to listen. And today I have a mortgage. You know, I have those bills. You know, I never thought I would own a house. I never thought I would make it to be over 40. I figured I would be dead by now, which would have been okay. Because, I was miserable. I never thought I could have fun not using. I have had more good times in Narcotics Anonymous than I could count. When I came down here last night and helped finish setting up, we went up to a restaurant and we had dinner as a group of us there. There were several little groups of us sitting around in this restaurant. And they must have thought we were lit or something, because we were the loudest laughing group of people in the restaurant. And, you know, I know none of us were using. I mean, I could have never had that kind of fun using. You know, I would have been too self-conscious. Oh, man, can't let them know. Well, it doesn't matter today. I don't care what they think, because I know. And the people I'm with know. And, you know, they told me I never have to go through that again. I never have to go through all that crap again. And that's what I always try to keep up front, is that I never have to go through it ever again. So if you're struggling and you don't want to ever have to go through it again, get involved with service, because that was something I did right away. You can do it today, because there's all committees here, can always use people just you know, a couple hours, a couple minutes even. People come up to me now, I can't remember them. I remember their face, but I'm terrible with names. I need a name tag with it spelled backwards so I can look in the mirror and see who I am sometimes. But people come up to me and say, hey, you were the registration guy last year. I'm like, yeah. You know, I know people from Australia. And what's up with that? I didn't care about people from other countries, really. You know, I cared whether I was going to get my money's worth, and that was it, or whether I was going to get burned. I get my money's worth here. It's a dollar in a basket. And I get more than my money's worth. Doing service, I get more from doing service than it takes to do it. It's a win-win situation in Narcotics Anonymous, and I never really realized that until I actually started getting involved. And I'm just so happy that you all are here and that you helped me to see that it gets better. It gets better. See, because I'm not upset that I'm not working today. It's all right. It'll all work out. My sponsor said, Tim, if worse comes to worse, the car wash on Route 1 in Laurel will always hire you. You don't have to worry. You will get a job. Now, that seems humiliating to have what I consider to be a good job. But you know what? I think that I will probably take that job at car wash if it came to it. Because I want to pay my mortgage. I don't want the house to go back to the bank. You know, I don't own the house. The bank owns it. But so long as I make those payments, I get to live there. And that feels good. And you people gave that to me. Everyone in this room gave that to me. So I want to thank you all for my house and my respectability today. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, family. My name is Kamora, and I'm an addict. I want to thank God for waking me up this morning in my right frame of mind, putting breath back in my body. I can tell y'all I'm from a family of 12, 8 girls, and 4 boys. But the part I want to talk about is the end of my road. Where I came from the abandoned houses, the crates, the cars, living in a cardboard condominium. I made it out of cardboard. We put carpet in it. We just had to walk across a roof. And this my first time around. I had 21 months clean. And y'all told me I only had to do this thing one time. That's where God took me from. I have a lot of gratitude. I want to thank God for you people. Thank God for my sponsor, the person that got me through this program. because I didn't know if I was coming or going when I came in here. I was scared as hell. I was hopeless. I was helpless. I ain't had nowhere to go. But today, I am employed. I've been on my job since 99, October the 6th, 1999, same job. I have a bank account. I have door keys. I have a 15-year-old son that I love dearly, building a relationship with my son. I'm not as powerless as I used to be because I picked the places I want to go today, picked positive things to do for me, positive people. My thinking is uncontrollable sometimes. That's why I ask God to think through my thinking, speak through my speaking. He working on me, within me, so I can help a still suffering addict just like me that was given freely to me. I have a precious gift that can't nobody take from me. I'm the only person that can get out of the way, and right now, in this particular moment, I don't choose to give mine away because I never lived like this in my life. I came to this program when I was 33. I'm 35 now. I thank God for treatment. I thank God for all you people, and I love each and every one of y'all, and I'm going to keep coming back.
My name is Kevin Namnadek, and I'm fairly a newcomer. I'm 43. Thank you. I'm 43 years old, and I used for a good part of like 27 years. 14 years ago, I was diagnosed HIV positive, and I lost a younger brother, and then I lost my father 2 months after I was diagnosed, and then a year later I lost my younger brother to cancer. And I just kept on using, relapsing, and up until August of last year, I just finally decided to surrender because I didn't want to live that life no more. I wanted to be clean, and I'm fairly healthy and wise as far as my diagnosis goes. I've never missed a doctor's appointment in 14 years. I'm on medication. I'm doing real good as far as that goes. But mentally, I see psychiatrists, and I'm on Zoloft, antidepressants, and stuff. And today, I just... I'm enrolled in school because I never graduated school. I'm the seventh child out of eight children, and I just celebrated the 18th two nights ago. 90 days. And this is my first convention. Thank you.
I'm an addict named Barry.
Hey, Barry.
Good to be here at a convention, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. It's really, really great to see this many addicts in one room together, being able to stay clean for however long it is, you know, 90 days, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 15 years, 20 years, one day, 90 days. You know, it's amazing that we can stay clean. You know, I never thought I could stay clean, ever. I thought I was going to be addicted for the rest of my life. You know, I grew up in a family who everybody was an addict. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, all down the whole line, everybody was an addict. I was born into the disease of addiction. I didn't ask for it. That's just how it ended up. I knew no other way of life until I found the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know? And just to make a long story short, you know, I used for a long time. And it was, you know, I was a despicable, disgusting, slimy, rotten person out there. I lied, you know, I cheated, I stole, I manipulated, I conned. You know, I did everything I could do to get a hit. Everything I could do to get one hit. You know? And I don't know if there's anybody in here that can relate to that. But that's just the kind of person I was. Of course, until I found Narcotics Anonymous. You know? Changed my life 100%. You know, but it wasn't easy. You know, I didn't just come here and just sit in the room and just magically change. You know, just magically become a different person. You know, it takes blood, sweat, and tears. You know, you have to want it just a little bit more than you don't want it. You know, when times were like, you just have to hold on through hell and high water, you know. And if things happen in recovery, just because we get clean, it's like, you know, we think that things are magically going to get better, you know. You think that, I mean, I thought that just because I got clean, you know, I wouldn't experience tragedy. I wouldn't, you know, nothing bad would happen. I wouldn't have to go through feelings. And actually, you know, I'm able to feel feelings today because I stopped getting high. You know, I've been through a lot of things in recovery in my short time clean. You know, my mom passed away about 8 months ago. You know, my dad's sick, dying of this disease too. And to see that clean in recovery and not use over that stuff, you know, it's a miracle that only Narcotics Anonymous can provide. You know, and I believe, you know, through my higher power, that I can stay clean for however long I want to stay clean. As long as I do the things that the people here before me told me to do. You know, if I listen to my sponsor, you know, if I, you know, listen to the people who have been here before me, the people who have time, you know, if I listen to the people who have, you know, 10 years clean, 15 years, the people who know how to stay clean. You know, don't listen to the person who has, you know, 1 or 2 days clean, because they might not be able to tell you what you need to know to get you through the rough, to get you through the tough times, you know? You know, just took some ways of how the program has changed my life, you know, it's like when I was using, you know, the unmanageability in my life was so incredible. It was like I couldn't go, you know, a day without getting high, but I tell myself, you know, I could stop getting high at any point in time. You know, I'd say, well, you know, maybe if I just use on Tuesdays and Thursdays that, you know, I can manage it. Because, see, I love to get high so much that I would do anything to try and make it fit in with my life. You know what I mean? I mean, that's like the unmanageability that it was. You know, I couldn't manage it. I ended up in utter despair. Total, you know, isolation. I had no friends. None of that stuff. You know, I would always sit around and think what I was going to do with my life. You know, while I was getting high, I'd be thinking of all these great things that I wanted to do with my life. You know, while I'm with the pipe in my mouth, you know, watching, you know, XFL football or whatever crap was on TV, you know, I'd be like, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get this job, I'm going to do that, I'm going to go here, I'm going to fly here, I'm going to do this. I wasn't doing anything but sitting in front of the television, you know, or on the corners, you know, ripping and running, doing all this crazy stuff, you know. Thinking that, like, I have it together. You know, and I was in utter despair. And I'm not there today. I'm not in utter despair today. You know, I couldn't put one and one together. And today, through Narcotics Anonymous, I was able to go to college. Now, it's really easy to figure out that this is what saves lives. This program is what saves lives. You know? It saved my life, and it could save anybody's life in this room. If you just give it a chance, if you just let it work. Let it work, and it will work. Because there's nothing else left for me except these rooms and the people in this room that have helped me stay clean for the past 2.5 years. And with that, I'll keep coming back.
I'm an addict. My name is Dennis L. I like to say welcome to everybody down at this year's convention. Now I know where the diehard Narcotics Anonymous members hang out at the meetings, right here. Yeah, this is the welcome meeting. Welcome to be here. I am glad to be here this year. Yes, it has been a struggle from time to time doing service work, right, dealing with the subcommittee and dealing with sponsors and relationships. But check the move. My higher power has seen it possible for me to get to the other side. Right now, I'm in the midst of a storm. Yeah, I'm in a lot of pain, but this is funny how this thing really works. All the pain I'm really in, Linda, right? What has happened, right, it has been transformed into a positive thing. People don't even know me. They just come and say, give me a hug. I say, I got a lot out of that. Yeah. People walk up to me and say, man, I'm glad to see you. I say, I got a lot out of that because in my mind, because what I'm going through, right, I think that I'm all alone. I feel like I'm all alone all over again. And it reminds me of the back in the day when I was doing my thing, right, when I would be in a little smokehouse back in Chicago, and it'd be nice and quiet. It'd just be me, a crate, and a book of matches and a can, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about that lonely feeling, right? Where you're sitting on that crate, right, and your spirit feels twisted. Like you just want to run. That's how I've been feeling. But down here, since I got here, what time I get here? What, 10:30, 11 o'clock? I have been overwhelmed. People have hugged me, said, I'm glad to see you. Man, I've been sharing about this. It's going to be all right. Get the other side, you know? And that's a good thing. So I welcome anybody who's down here to their first convention, right? If you was here last year, welcome back. Man, we come here to recover. I know without a doubt in my mind that we can recover one day at a time. One day at a time, man. You know, and that's what it's about. You know, I have a tendency, because I suffer from this disease of addiction, I have a tendency to project what's going to happen next week. Right? Once I begin to project things, right, I begin to live in this fantasy world. Right? And when my fantasies is not lived out according to how I perceive them, something happens. I suffer from those, we call them character defects. Or defects of character, right? I suffer from them things, right? Like the thing that I'm going through, right? I have projected some things and lived in this fantasy, right? And it's not happening like I want it to happen. So those character defects jump up. Here's one. See if you can get with this here. Rejection. Yeah, that's just one, rejection. Here's another one, abandonment issue. Oh, I got some more I'm dealing with now. It seems like they just coming from everywhere, you know? How you say it, one day at a time, huh? They coming. Here's another one I'm really dealing with, right? My low self-esteem. I really thought because everything was going so well, I had arrived to the point that my low self-esteem was all the way up here. Right, but because I'm dealing with this rejection thing, right, my low self-esteem has resurfaced, and I'm back down here, you know, because I just shared a minute ago, right, because I, from time to time, I feel lonely. I feel afraid. You know, for the last 72 hours, Jack, I'm going to be honest, I've been crying like a baby. The tears have been rolling down my face, right? I've been sharing with my sponsor. I've been sharing with the men that I sponsor, right? I've been sharing with you members, man, because I don't want to die from the disease of addiction. You know, I find myself being obsessed with what I'm going through, right? And I compulsively act out, meaning, you know, once I get started, Jack, I just can't stop. And because I'm so self-centered, right, I want what I want when I want it, and God doggone, I want it right now. And when it don't happen my way, man, I deal with those character defects, right? But I know today, man, it's going to be all right. Y'all told me it's going to be all right. Y'all said, Dennis, just be cool. Pray. Talk to God. Share with your sponsor. Make meetings. You know, help a newcomer. Get involved in service. You know, and those are the things that I did when I first came to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And I truly believe at this convention, those are the things I'm going to have to refocus on because I do not want to die from the disease of addiction. And you don't have to die by using a drug. In recovery and relapse, it says this, and I quote, it says, we have known members who have died in various ways. That sounds to me like various ways. That means you ain't got to pick up a dope or a substance to die. You can die because you're obsessed with this relationship, compulsively acting out, making that phone call because you're so totally self-centered. Right? You want what you want, what you want, right? And I'm just going to take what I want. That's a case, man. I feel a whole lot better. I feel a whole lot better because all of a sudden, but my high power just lifted something off my shoulders. I'm going to say this and I'm going to hush because I know it's about 30 more of y'all want to come up here and share too, right? The most profound thing that I've ever heard in any Narcotics Anonymous meeting, right? And I heard this from the first day, right? It goes like this here. Check this out. Keep coming back. Because if you keep coming back, sooner or later, you're going to hear something that's going to make you stay attracted to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Ain't that wonderful? It's a wonderful thing to just keep coming back and be attracted, you know? That's the thing about it, man. I'm truly grateful. Look, if you're new, keep coming back. I'm an addict. My name is Dennis L. I keep coming.
I'm an addict. My name's Franny. Man, thank God I kept coming back. You know, I was at this convention this time last year. There's been a lot of other times throughout my life where I tried to get clean, and I came to the rooms, but I forgot to put down the drugs. It doesn't work that way, you know. The differences that have happened, you know, with recovery and seeing some of the benefits, man, between this year and last year, you know, being at the convention last year and feeling all twisted up because of how I was living dirty. And being here this year and actually living clean, you know, and staying clean, being a decent parent, being a decent husband, and learning how to be a good human being. You know, the things that I never knew how to do. Talks about in the basic text, jails, institutions, death, and total demoralization. You know, the only thing left for me is the benefits of recovery, that I'm saying. You know, and I keep looking forward to what else is going to happen, man. It's overwhelming. When I got up this morning, stepped outside and looked at the ocean, you know, did some readings, did some prayer, and was just like, thank God that I'm clean today. You know, I haven't got to the point in recovery where I'm responsible with all my issues as far as paying bills, as far as keeping things in priority, you know. For me, my recovery has been about interacting with other human beings on a positive, healthy level. You know, I'm still learning how to do that. I'm still learning how to love myself. You know, and love and accept other people. And I'm finding that in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and it's like I look around, I'm looking at people. And last year when I was here, I was twisted. My thinking was twisted, and I was very scared because I forgot that I was an addict and everybody else here is an addict. You know, we have that common bond. It feels good to be a lot more at ease. And I'm going to say this and shut up, man. You know, no matter what happens, keep coming. Keep coming. And listen, took a lot for it to click for me and for me to be willing to change for myself. That's all I have. Thank you.
I'm Sharon, and I'm an addict, and I'm really grateful to be here, and Denzel stirred up some feelings because I've been in my head about sharing tomorrow. This is not for advertisement, but when he talked about the feelings, because I have a feeling disease, it kicked up a lot of feelings and a lot of emotions. It just lets me know that I'm human, that I do want to grow. I do want to do what God has for me to do, his will, and I've been here since Wednesday. And got here safely on. And I've been just soaking up the sun, the sunrise, the ocean, the mood, you know, reading the literature. I talked to my sponsor before I left, and I too have attended every convention since 1990, and I'm grateful for that. But I just wanted to say it's not a storm for me. It's just a lot of emotions and feelings that I have to deal with. Just lets me know I'm human, whether I'm high or whether I'm low. I know that it's the grace of God that has me here, and I'm going to keep coming back.
But I was at this convention last year, and it made a major impact on my recovery because it was like I'd never seen so many addicts in one room, and nobody was fussing about, well, it's my turn, pass me the stem, you took my last hit, you know. I mean, everybody loving each other. You know, I can really feel the presence of God in this room in here today, you know. And I want to say that women, we do recover, man. You know, we do recover, you know. Thanks for letting me share.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Al. I'm an addict. You know, it's real good to be here. Truly is. It's truly an honor and a privilege, you know, to come down here this weekend with y'all to be among the living. And, you know, what I was thinking about the chapter, We Do Recover, you know, and I tell you, last year was my most difficult year in recovery. By nature, I'm a mama's boy. Come Mother's Day, it'll be a year that mother's been home. She went home, and for a two-week period of time, I didn't know if I was coming or going, and I literally thought about using. But I kept going to meetings, and I kept looking at y'all, and I kept thinking about y'all, and y'all told me by any means necessary. Then I had another devastating effect when my brother is now on long-term vacation, which happened in August. And I got real angry at him, and I think I was angry at God, too, because I said, you took my mother, and you took my brother, and you leave me with all these responsibilities of maintaining a home that was left to me that I really didn't want to maintain. I really wanted to give it up and just run. But see, God, in his intuition, intervened and said, nope, this is what you got to do, whether you like it or not. And I'm eternally grateful for that. Plus, to put the ice cream on top of the cake, after being a federal employee for 20 years, I was asked to leave that job. So, see, I had a whole bunch of reasons and a whole bunch of excuses to throw away my time. But I've learned through trial and error that I'm going to have life situations in my life anyway. So if I smoke some drugs or try that crack again, which I found out early in recovery, that I was a crack addict, only I smoked it out of the pipe before it came to the rock form. And I was amazed at that, because I thought I was a cocaine head, but yeah, yeah. Go to show you how much I know. You know, I'd like to welcome all the newcomers, the in-betweeners, and the people with time such as myself, because this is the most beautiful thing that I have witnessed in my life. And we're down here, ain't nobody mugging nobody, ain't nobody taking nobody's ties, you know, ain't nobody robbing nobody, you know, and we ain't fighting each other, you know. We're from all walks of life, man. This is truly, truly a beautiful thing, man, for us for all of us to get together for a weekend like this. You know, and I came down yesterday, and I just like, you know, I'm like just flabbergasted, man. You know, I really look forward to this because during the year I don't see y'all a lot. You know, and this is like a homecoming for me. This is like acting like a damn fool. This is like cutting up. This is like, you know, going to the dances and you know, and using my two left feet. You know, and y'all ain't laughing at me, but y'all dancing with me. You know, and you say, Dale, keep coming back, more will be revealed. You know, and I hope I get this right by saying that my favorite thing in the chapter is We Do Recovery is this is a spiritual, not religious program called Narcotics Anonymous, and we do recover. Thank you.
If I didn't care.
Now look, my disclaimer. I've been clean 12 years. I ain't had a day like I was using since. And I've been happy, man. I'm wrong. I guess that's why they gave me this thing, right? Yeah, but I'm going through some feelings. I mean, you know, most of them are good. But I was just told to talk about how I felt when I came out. Because yesterday when I started down here, a police officer pulled me over because I was speeding. And I kind of... Yeah, I felt like hitting him, but I didn't. I just told him a lie, which didn't matter because he was going to give me a verbal warning anyway. And so I kind of got through that. And coming down, I bought a few extra dollars with me, man. And I when I got to that outlet down there on 50, man, I got the urge to go. But I drove right on by, you know. It was just a feeling. I mean, that urge was just a feeling. You know, I went to the dough roller to eat this morning, and I saw this thing with all these pancakes and all these eggs, and you get all these, and I wanted all of it. But it was just a feeling, because I'm an overeater too. You know, it's addiction. Man. I do everything too much, and I got through that, right? But when I was sitting over there, I heard Linda share that she was a little short and all that old kind of stuff, and I, you know, they had a thing downstairs on the registration desk. I was one of the first people to register, and it was a job for newcomers. There was no money. I was one of the first people. I was the first person with money in there, and that felt real good.
Say it again.
Yeah, to give away, you know, and that's important to me because where I came from, if I gave you something, you probably wouldn't want it if you knew what it was. I would give you some water if you put in half, you know. Y'all shot dope, you know what I'm talking about, right? that's who I was. But it feels good to give now. But when Linda was talking, because I got a few extra dollars, I think I'm feeling so good. I think like when I was on the street, and you got drugs that were good, you told me, man, that thing good, you ain't hit that, you got to get, man, let me put you down. You know, that's, you want everybody to feel it. And that's how I want everybody to enjoy themselves here.
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, I would like to do things to make other people feel good. You know, I mean, just pick somebody out the audience. Just give them $50 or something. It don't matter who it is. Oh, you know, just walk up to them and just hand them $50. But it's just a feeling. So if y'all see me cutting up around here, don't pull me up. I mean to act a fool. I mean to have fun while I'm here. I put in for leave on my job 3 months ago. The only problem I got is we need to start having a Thursday meeting. Because when I came out here last night, I was making fun with people in stores and everything. I had none of y'all to mess with, man. They don't understand me. I know y'all understand me. Y'all know I smoked boat and did all that stuff, so I got some damage done. But I'm here to tell you, man, this is the bomb here. Ocean City Convention is the smoker. It's hitting and holing, biting and scratching, sticking and licking, and it's better than Popeye's chicken. It's non-fat. Thank y'all for letting me share.
Good afternoon, group. My name is Ricky, and I'm a grateful recovering addict.
Amen.
And it's truly, truly by the grace of God that I stand here before y'all. And I need to tell y'all that... through the grace of God and the help of you people, I haven't had a blow of dope today.
There you go.
And that's a good thing. I'm here to tell you that I'm here to rest this weekend. Because I heard a brother share not too long ago about what he was going through, and I'm here to tell you that about 4 weeks ago, I celebrated 11 years here. And when I got here, they said it was a cinch by the inch, but it's harder by the yard. And that's some real stuff, man, I'm telling you. Because what you see before you today, ladies and gentlemen, is a man who is tired. And I'm not trying to put a damper on y'all's convention, but I believe that, and I've been coming here for the last 8 years. When the D.C. area hosted this convention, I was a chairperson of crowd management. They call it a security keepers or something there. Serenity keepers, thank you. That time it was called crowd management. Same soup, that's right. But I'm here this time, man, because I'm here to share with y'all that I'm in a situation right now with a sister who's dying. And she's also a sister who's in recovery. And my convention was almost cut short because she has cancer. And I'm here to tell y'all, man, how my higher power works, and it works through y'all. Because, see, my phone has been, and I carry a cell phone with me because I have a business, but people have been calling. You people in Narcotics Anonymous have been calling me on a regular basis to check to see how I'm doing. See, they told me, man, that this is truly a weak program around here, and it's not only the sister that's going through what she's going through, but see, I'm going through a lot as well. Because on Tuesday, I got in a phone call, and I was called by one of her coworkers to come take her to the hospital. See, she has cancer in her lungs. She has cancer in her kidneys. She has cancer in her head. I've got 11 years. She's got 12 years clean around here. And I go to meetings, man, on a regular basis because, see, I believe that people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. See, I came down here, man, mainly to get away, to give me some rest because people said, Ricky, that's what you need to do. When I got the call at 11 o'clock, at 10 o'clock on Tuesday, I came and picked her up, and it looked like she had passed out at my house. See, and the third step of Narcotics Anonymous is to say we want all the good things that the NA Fellowship has to offer. See, when I came around here that time, I thought it was a jury. I thought it was a house. I got the jury. I got the house. I thought it was the cars. I got three of them. What they're talking about that inner peace. They're talking about that inner thing. And I had to find out that when I got here. And you know, I have one of those sponsors, man, who don't tell me what to do. I'm 44 years old. I'm going to do what I want to do. But what he does is he gives me some information. He said, Ricky, let me run this by you. He says, Ricky, think about this. What you have to realize is that she has a God just like you do. And I was told to come down here. I had paid for my room, man, about 4, 5, 6 months ago. And I was willing to give it up because if it wasn't nobody home to watch her, see, I couldn't enjoy myself down here. So I'm here to tell y'all, man, that... Any day above ground is truly a good day, but I'm here to also say that if anybody tells you that you're not going to go through no pain around here, let them know that Ricky said that you're either Larry the Lion or the Using. Because I was told that pain is inevitable, but misery is what's an option. And you're going to hurt around here. You know, in July of last year, I buried my brother. I went on a cruise. See, God, y'all have given me a whole lot of things, man. You know, I take a cruise every other year. I like getting on the boat. You know, I like for them people to turn my bed down. You know what I'm saying? Because I have worked for those. Those are the fruits of my labor that y'all told me that I can get when I come here. They said that you're going to have a castle or a hut. I decided to get the castle. You know, like somebody said, if, you know, you want what I got, do what I do. I asked people, what did they do? But in July of last year, I took a cruise, and when I came back, I checked my voicemail on my phone, and I found out that my brother had a heart attack, and I had to bury my brother. And now this woman that I have been with for 8 years is dying, and the doctors told me yesterday she has a type of cancer that just can't be cured, and they're giving her this chemo thing, man, and it's eating her up, and all I want her to do is to be comfortable. But she told me, she said, Ricky, go to Ocean City. I made arrangements for people to be there with her, and then she said, Ricky, go to Ocean City and enjoy yourself. And I decided to do that, man. I came here to rest. So if y'all see me, man, you know, just sometimes, man, just give me a hug, man, you know, because it's not easy. People think that after you get double digits and you've been around here for a little while, man, that things get good, and it's not that. I'm willing to give up that house and them three cars and the jewelry and all that other kind of good stuff, man, just to have a peace of mind. Strange things happen, man, on the way to recovery. And one of the things that happened to me when I got here is that I had to learn how to do what y'all told me to do, and that's just to live it a day at a time. You know, I thank y'all, man, for being here. I got here too last night. I rode up on Route 50, man, listening to Stephanie Mills, and when I got here, I too wanted a meeting. But I came here, man, and I laid in my bed, and I said a prayer, and I went to sleep, and I woke up this morning, and I came here to be with y'all. Recovery's a gift, man, and everybody's not going to get this thing. My name is Rick, and I'm an addict, and I'd like to thank y'all for letting me share.
My name's Sheena, I'm an addict. I was sitting over there, and I want to share, and I'm always that type of person who want to share, but I'm afraid to, and my palms start sweating, my heart start beating, my stomach start flipping, and that's the same process I used to go through when I wanted to use. But this is good, you know, this is a good fear. Me and my husband came down on Wednesday. This is our vacation every year. This is what we do. I'm a workaholic. I work a lot. And it's funny because when I came into recovery, I had no job, and I was afraid to even get a job. But since I've been in recovery, and I've been in recovery for 9 years, and I'm still afraid to talk, that's because I don't. And I don't have a lot of friends because I don't try to get close to people. I still shut people out. When I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I hated people. I hated women especially. And I only talked to men if I could get something out of them. And I was a loner, and I liked it that way. I have 7 of us, 5 of us are girls, 2 boys. Every sister I have in my family has done something dramatic to me. So it caused me not to like women. And I do still have deep-rooted issues with women, but it has gotten better over the years. You know, there are some women in my life because I can't do without people, and I've learned that through a process of recovery. I've done a lot since I've been here. I've gained a lot since I've been here. You know, I came in, I had my GED, but I went back to college. I became a nurse. I've done a lot in these few years that I've been here. We've accumulated a lot of things. My issues today are... I work a lot. I want a lot of things. I want to buy a lot of things. I have an 18-year-old who's selfish and self-serving and, you know, just like I am. I mean, she is a product of her own. That's who I was. It's all about me, and it's all about her. And I fed this obsession with her for the last 8 years when I got her back, because when I had lost my kids to their father when my son was probably 2 or 3, I don't know, my daughter was 5, they came back when she was 8, and I was just starting in recovery, and I felt like I owed them something because I didn't have them, and they used that. Oh yeah, they used that. My daughter uses it a lot. You know, I try to give them everything because I had nothing when I grew up. My parents didn't give me anything. They didn't have it, you know. So I work hard, and I get in a lot of debt to give her what she wants. And it's causing me a lot of pain. She's 18 now. She's just ready to graduate, and I don't know how to help her. I feel like all the stuff that I've done to her is only hurting her. It's not helping her. And then I can't stop now because it'll hurt me to stop doing it because that's all she knows. And it's painful for me to tell her no, and it's painful for me not to give her what she wants. And I always say, no, I'm not going to do it, and turn around and do it. And she knows this. You know, all she got to do is turn on that sad face, look like she's feeling bad, or, you know, like I've hurt her, and I turn around and do it anyway. And my tears, you know, I'm a crybaby anyway. When I get up here, I start talking about shit because I got a lot of issues with me. I have a lot of stuff inside me that I don't share a lot. But sometimes it come out when I get up here. I don't know what happens to me. And I didn't come up here to really talk about how what's going on with my daughter. It's about when I came down here this time, I really felt so good. I feel like when I come down here, I get such serenity and peace in my life. And my husband and me, we got this right over the ocean, and every morning we can see, you know, God's work. You know, and I feel so peaceful when I come down here. And I was like, yay, today is the convention day, because we got down here on Wednesday. And I was like, I'm ready for this. You know, because I go to one meeting a week. I work 6 days a week if I can. I sign up for all kinds of overtime. You know, a nurse right now, money's good. You know what I mean, nurse shortage. And I take advantage of every, and I wear myself out. And I never want to take a break. And every year he say, convention time coming, October sometime. Let's sign up. And I always say, I don't know if I have to work or not. You know, and I can always just put in for a vacation. I got the time. But I don't want to spend my time, my money. I don't want to leave because I might miss out on some money. But I always work whatever shifts I need to work. And then I worked 10 days straight before I came here, 12-hour shifts, because I didn't want to miss my money. I come down here, but I want to make sure I got my money when I get back. And it's killing me, though. You know, I get tired of that. And he always says, stop, baby, you don't have to do this. You know, and he will help me any way he can. But I've always been kind of a proud person, even though I ain't had shit when I came here. I had pride, which didn't do me a damn bit of good, but I had some. And I ain't like to ask for nothing, you know. Even when I was out there using, I ain't like to ask for nothing. I steal it from you first. And I still carry that. You know, I want to do for myself. I'm okay. I always say I'm okay. I can handle it, you know. And I used to say the work ain't hard when I was out there. Work ain't hard. I can handle it. And I still live my life like that some days, I see. But I want to welcome everybody. You know, I'm not here to just share a meeting, but welcome to this convention, and I hope you guys have as much fun as I plan on having. Thanks a lot.
Again, I'm an addict. My name is Eric. This welcoming meeting is over, and I'd like to thank everyone to share. Would an addict please come read just for today, and we can close?
Hi, my name is Bernadette, and I'm an addict. Just for today, tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Just for today.
We have a beautiful way.